No, the person you mentioned before wasn't Mick, was it?
No, no.
Mick's a completely different story.
Yes, yes, yes.
So, tell me a bit about this person, if it's okay.
Well, it's okay. I mean, it's just my neighbours, whilst their house was still there. They were there for quite a while. They were the ones who had, you know, were given short shrift with their home. And but in the 60s, they had been not, they weren't kind of on the streets campaigning, but they were part of the campaign group, which were what was against the road from early on in the 60s. And they used to have like weekly meetings in St Mary's Church. And so he felt by the time this was escalating in the way that it was, he was just getting very, very depressed. I mean, they owned their home, they'd invested so much in it, and he became quite ill, really. He became very ill. It just all got too much for him, and his wife, Bridget, did say to me, look, don't mention anything about that, because he just can't take any more. And, you know, it was very difficult for him to leave his house, and his two sons were pretty distraught as well. I mean, you know, they were, one was in his sort of about 21, the other one was about 18, and I mean, you know, they were very upset about it all too. But Dave literally was in hospital. It just made him ill, you know. I mean, it was literally, well, it's sort of like 30 odd years of not wanting it to happen, and nobody listening to the residents. And you know, he was having to face the fact that he was going to lose his home, and also not be recompensed properly, and his wife had sort of physical ailments as well. She had sort of terrible trouble with her teeth and stuff, you know, really, really bad, you know. So it was very, very difficult for them, very difficult. I mean, they were very average people. I mean, they were just normal, hard-working people who both went out to work. But what they did do was go to these meetings once a month or whenever they happened. They weren't out there on the streets in Claremont Road. He couldn't possibly have coped with that. But, you know, it did. They've pulled through. They're okay now. But when they demolished their house, the boys had written something really poignant on the walls, but I just didn't. I'm not journalistic enough to actually have taken a photograph of that. It was really quite deeply upsetting, you know. They put their dates of birth to when they left the house, and they daubed that on the inside of one of their walls, their bedrooms. You know, when they'd been half demolished, you could see that, and it was just terribly sad, really. So, I mean, there were lots of very ordinary people living down Grove Green Road who were very badly affected by, you know, this sort of miscalculation, really, of building this road. And really, really, no matter what people say, the residents were not really consulted. They just were not consulted.
And do you know if your neighbours got rehoused at all?
They were given a pittance, you know, as compensation, and they have managed to buy another property, but it no way was it comparable to the one they had. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a bit of a nightmare when they moved in, and you know, again, it was something they could just about afford, really, to get, and that's with both of them working. But I mean, that's how it affected a lot of people, really. Lots of people became physically ill because it was so stressful.
I mean, what's interesting as well, you mentioned I'm not so journalistic that I would go in and photograph that sort of... I think that was quite a common sensibility among a lot of the artists because not many artists did work about the campaign. You had photographers coming in doing documentary images. And I think for the artist who actually lived here, it was a very sort of sensitive issue. And you almost did not make work about it because of that. Like you felt like you was intruding.
I mean, I think the only person who did do it very sensitively was John who made films, and
John Smith,
and that was very moving. I did see that film a few years ago, and that was very, very moving, because I couldn't, before my house was knocked down, and when my friends Jenny and Ian moved out of their place, and they were divided as to how long they should hang on for, and in the end, because they had a small child, a baby, they felt that, you know, they did have to go, but it was a big wrench for them. And Ian was terribly depressed about that, very depressed, and it was terribly sad. I couldn't walk down Grove Green Road down to... I didn't see their house being demolished. I just couldn't, could not go down there, and I had to avoid this area. I had to go a different route. To come to this house, I could not go and see my house as demolished for a while until you know, I couldn't see it being demolished. There's no way I could see it being demolished, and I it was a while before I was able to go back there. And then I found that the demolition people had left my garden so that it bloomed once more, which is just amazing. And I did take photographs of that, and I took a photograph of the nature not being able to be stopped somehow with that tulip coming up through the rubble. That I just thought was a, you know, just amazing sort of image.
What, if you walk down the road, was the whole road rubble and then a space where your garden was? How did it...
It was behind the metal, you know, corrugated metal. And when I could actually go down there, eventually I could go down there, and I just thought there was a gap, and I just kind of went in and had a look, and I couldn't believe that my garden and Dave's garden were still there. Everything else was flattened, you know, and all the decent bricks had been, you know, it was a business. I mean, they were all the demolition people. Those bricks were worth a bit because they're old London brick. So most of the bricks had gone, so the area was fairly sort of flattened, but my house had been fairly recently demolished. But they'd taken the decent bricks away, but you know, just a bit further away from the rubble where that tulip was, you'd never know, because the garden was still there, and it was still beautiful. Part of the garden is just lovely. Just amazing. They didn't touch. They demolished the house, but they didn't touch the garden. The demolition people didn't touch the garden.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's just, I just thought it's wonderful, because I used to talk to the head of the demolition crew, and he really didn't want to knock houses down. He didn't know that this is what the job involved, and he'd already spoken to a friend of mine down the road and said that they really didn't like doing this sort of thing at all. And I did have the odd chat with him about things and about gardening and stuff like that, and I was sort of saying what was in Dave's garden. He had some fantastic raspberry canes, and you know, they were just gorgeous raspberries, and I tried to get a few of them out for my dad for the allotment. And I had all sorts of things like tomatoes, runner beans, right to the end, before I left. I had runner beans.
And then, you know, like there was no consideration. I mean, it just sounds like, well, they didn't come to care about the people who lived in the houses anyway. And they're certainly not going to care about recycling or moving trees and plants.
You're no.
Just thinking all that resources.
I know. But that short-sightedness, you know, I mean, a lot of people, you know, who were a bit more aware, just, you don't have to be that aware to know that if you keep building roads and more concrete and stuff like that, it's going to affect our planet. I mean, it's come to a crisis point now, and everybody's whittering on about global warming. Well, you know, a lot of us knew about that absolutely years and years ago, and that, you know, the dear old hippies were insulted for, you know, for being hippies and for being woolly people. But, you know, it's you know, what sort of world do we want our children to live in and our grandchildren? And it really is up to us, and it's up to us to actually take on board this sort of awareness. And it's just that, though, you know, they wanted to make money out of it all. There was money to be made. That's why the road was built. Forget the people, forget the gardens, forget the moles, we didn't have moles, forget the bats. We had loads of bats, there are no bats now. Forget the hedgehogs. You know, forget all that, the biodiversity. They wanted to make money. It was a money-making venture. If they were really thinking about their, if they were really thinking about their children and what kind of world they were leaving their to their children and to their grandchildren and to their great-grandchildren, it's a bit late now. And everybody's going to have to work doubly hard. Instead of insulting all those hippies and crusties, you know, let them have a voice. Because there's more to this planet than money. Definitely.
And you mentioned, like, when you was talking about not being able to walk down that street, that you had been connected with, couldn't walk past your house.
No.
And that's really poignant, because I think a lot of us felt that. Once we had to move, then you didn't want to come back for a while.
Definitely for a while, I couldn't know.
So when you was talking about work that actually what addressed the road, I mean, sort of it seemed like John Smith was doing it as it happened, because
he was
being demolished.
God, he was very brave. I don't think I could have coped with that.
And
no.
And then Graham's awful eviction, and not coming back to the area for ages, and then he finally came back to make that work.
Exactly. I mean, I think from what I understand it, I've heard a interview with him on the radio. I think he found that quite a healing process to actually be able to make that audio piece of work, because you know, he was able to talk to so many people, and he has made something extremely moving. I was glued to the radio where you could hear snippets of it from this particular radio station, and then I went with my brother and you know, we went up the road, and my friend Claire has got quite a large chunk, and I think I whitter on about flowers and stuff like that. I've got a very small chunkette down there, near where my house used to be. And you know, but that is it. I am a nature person.
Did you talk about your garden?
I did, but it was just very kind of, it was just very, very small snippet of, you know, possibly things about the colours of tulips and things like that. But I mean, I am, that is my great love, is, you know, but there's a reason behind it, because I am aware that we all need this biodiversity. If we strip our planet of trees, which are our lungs and what have you, there's going to be more and more tragedies and floods and all sorts, and you know, and so I'm doing my little bit quietly. I was doing my little bit quietly down at 181. I wasn't a loud protester, but I was doing my bit by looking after the pond there and trying to plant things which are complementary, and you know, I was sort of, you know, sort of trying to do my bit as well, and here as well.
Because do you think in some ways the artists were here looking after?
Definitely. Because we had to do all our own renovations and stuff like that, even if it meant, you know, friends would come round to sort the drains out. I mean, we wouldn't get diner rod, we couldn't afford it, so we'd, you know, people would go around to each other's houses to try and sort of renovate things and, you know, whatever it might take, because, I mean, that we knew that the houses were going to be demolished, so they weren't going to pay out large chunks of money, and you could understand that. So we did, we made them into homes. We actually did do a lot to the houses. Not me so much, but I did decorate, and I did, my house was very damp. And so I was working to my friend's a builder, so I was sort of getting advice from him as to how to aerate the house and, you know, make it a drier house, and it did dry out. I mean, some of the measures were fairly rudimentary, because over my kitchen extension there were like two roofs for some reason, and I mean, basically the only thing my friend Stuart did was put a washing up bowl underneath where he thought that the leak was, because there wasn't, you know, I couldn't afford to pay anyone, and Acme weren't prepared to do anything to the roof anymore. So, I mean, but we did what we could, and some people did a fantastic job. Absolutely brilliant, you know.
Any places that stand out in your mind that people did art?
Well, I mean, just in a very kind of modest way, but my friends Jenny and Ian down the road, I mean, you know, they worked hard to sort of, you know, Ian's a pretty good DIY person, and they made things very, very livable and cosy and nice, and, you know, put in a shower and goodness knows what else, and tiles and nice tiles and things like that. Mm. So, I mean, made, you know, definitely, I mean, added, I think, to the value of the places and to how, if you know, you actually had people, it was a place where people lived, mm. and it was a home. So, I think it had a really good community feel at that time.
I mean, it was interesting also what you said about Claremont Road, about the art house
mm.
almost acted as a catalyst
mm.
for the anti-road protesters who then built structures and sculptures in their street. I mean, do you think...
I mean,
that's the kind of... That's, in a way, the whole ethos of the live-work
mm.
space.
Mm, mm.
Gone out into
the street. I mean, I'm not saying it categorically because other people might have different views, but mm. I mean, from as well as my memory does serve, it does feel like that the art house was a bit of a catalyst because people got enthused by mm. actually doing, you know, beautifying the cottages and then people sort of thought of their own different images and. You know, long down the road, you've got all these different sort of images painted on the windows and things like that. Mm. And I think that was inspired. One of them was definitely inspired by Housewatch, I'm sure. It's just mm. the image just was pretty, resonated that. I feel that the art side of things, definitely. Mm. I mean, it's not that they weren't doing other things, protesting and building towers and stuff like that. But I think that I personally feel the art house was a bit of a catalyst for other mm. projects, you know, for the banner that was painted. Christine Binney sort of was kind of part of the big banner of the road, which was hung over the Minister of Transport, then the Minister of Transport's house, which is really clever. It's extremely clever and really very harmless, mm. But it was so simple. And then the spin-offs from that. I mean, I couldn't find them, unfortunately. But all the little postcards that were actually made, which had that design on it, had what that was one of the designs was the all those postcards
in the Museum of London. Those are they? Postcards.
I've got them somewhere. I don't know where they are.
So I suppose like the last.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hell.